Lord, and I just pray for Kenny that you would just give him your peace and just fill him with your spirit. And Lord, as we're just being still these weeks over the summer, as we're just kind of lingering in your presence, I pray that you quiet Kenny's heart and mind. And then, Lord, that you would also release your power through him. And Lord, we just open our hearts to hear what you want to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So all your stuff, do you need this stuff? Okay. We have a lot of stuff up here this morning. Well, good morning. Last week, if you missed it, we talked about true rest. We talked about an eternal rest of Jesus taking our burdens and him giving us his burden, which is light and easy. We talked about come all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And this is an eternal rest with the Lord, an exchange of him taking us, our stuff, and him taking his, giving us his stuff, and a beautiful walk of rest. This is an eternal rest that we're called to live in. And then Paula shared her testimony on the ways that Jesus were calling her out during chronic pain and what that's been like for her in the places of difficulty, how Jesus has walked with her in that place. And she used the illustration of a loom. She shared a Corrie ten Boom piece of poetry about the weaving and how the Lord really is weaving his life in us and weaving the things of him. And so as you can see on this side, you may wonder if you weren't here, is that piece of canvas with all the ribbon on that side. But that's our weaving that we're doing this summer. We are weaving the things that we hold on to, maybe burdens or things that we hold on to, and we are weaving it into the Lord, and he's weaving something in us. And he does that individually, and he does that corporately. So, that's there, and we'll talk more about that, that canvas there. But this morning, as we were in worship, I sensed that there was a song, Take Me Into the Holy of Holies. And I was sitting there, and immediately I heard a voice saying, but I can't go into the Holy of Holies. You don't understand, I can't go into the Holy of Holies. And I felt like that was maybe somebody here this morning where you know, here Jesus was inviting us to come into the Holy of Holies, and you might be feeling, well, I can't go in. I have failed. I have too much baggage. I have too much stuff to be able to enter into the place of the Lord. But I'd like you to, I feel like the Lord is saying, that's not the truth. If you know Jesus, he's the one that welcomed us in. He's the one that allowed grace to wash away our sin. You're invited to the Holy Holies of no matter what you've done. And in that place, the truth is that you've been made holy if you know Jesus as your Savior. And the blood and grace of Jesus covers you, and you can walk boldly in that place. So this morning, we're going to start out by Fawn sharing her testimony. So Fawn, you can come up, but I just want to pray first before we start. Yeah, Jesus, some of us have burdens that are very heavy and hard to carry, and maybe laboring hard even right now, not knowing what to do. The things that they're carrying, the weight of it. Lord, Jesus, I ask that you would do a ministering work in whoever's heart that is. Lord, I pray that you would confirm in them the calling that you have for them and give them confidence to go boldly into your throne room to receive all that you have for them. Jesus, Jesus, help us come to you when we are weary and burdened. And Lord, help us to accept the lightness of your presence and the grace that you pour out on us, setting us free from the fear that so easily entangles us so that we can rest from our striving. Thank you, Lord, for fighting our battles. Amen. So, Fawn, if you can come on up.
Okay. So in case you don't know who I am, there are lots of new faces, and I don't know you, so I guess you don't know me. My name is Fawn, and I am a mom, and I am a missionary at Youth for Christ, and I am a school teacher, and I am a nana. And I've been coming to Trinity for about 3 years now, and I do some of the fine arts stuff with Trinity, with Kenny, as well as occasionally lead up here like I have this morning. I have 3 adult sons, 2 who are married, and I have 2 beautiful new grandchildren. And I am a dancer. I enjoy the arts and theater and gardening, and I'm an extrovert. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old. But that's not the testimony I'm sharing with you today. We've been talking about rest at Trinity, and Kenny and I were chatting on the phone, I know about a week and a half or so ago, and he asked me if I would share testimony about what God is doing in my life right now about rest, and I said no. And I said no because it is too new, it is too raw. I don't know where God's leading me. I don't have a pretty bow to tie on the end of my testimony this morning. But I went to bed that night, and the Lord gave me a dream. And I woke up in the morning, and the first words out of my mouth, before I even opened my eyes, were, "You need to share your testimony." And I went, because I didn't want to. I didn't want to come up here and be that vulnerable about what's happening right now in my life with you guys. But I'm here, and I'm obeying. And like I said, though I don't know yet where the Lord is taking me on this new journey, I'm going to invite you guys to come along with me on it for at least a little bit. So 2 weeks ago, Brad talked about being still and resting, and I wasn't here because I haven't been well. But I listened to it at home, and he said, "Who struggled with it?" And at home, I'm laying on my sofa, I went, "Me, I struggle with rest. I am busy. I'm a very busy person. In fact, the last few years, I have submitted 5 T4s every year to income tax. I hold down no less than 2 to 3 jobs, more like 4 or 5 at a time. And I do 20 hours a week at YFC, and I juggle subbing and ESL and teaching terms in between all that. And that has been my normal for a long time, for a lot of years. I guess a lifetime of learned independence and this adult reality of having to work multiple jobs in order to care for myself and my children as a single mom has produced some good things. It's produced a pretty competent, independent woman with energizer bunny-like energy. God has given me a high capacity for what Kenny said the other day. I thought he worded it just right, a high capacity for work. And he's given me a high emotional and mental and physical energy that feeds off people and big noises and loud events. And sometimes all of this gets me spinning at breakneck speeds. And people say to me, "How do you do it?" And I go, "I don't know. You do what you need to do. And this is what I need to do. So I do it." And I shrug my shoulders and I keep going. I don't know why God has chosen to give me this sort of lifestyle, but he has, and I've just sort of been accepting of it and thankful for it, because through all these jobs he's providing for my financial needs, and I'm eternally grateful for the way God provides for me. It hasn't always been the way I've wanted, but he's provided. But over the last year or so, it has gotten increasingly hard to do. I'm getting more and more exhausted. My doctor's been telling me, you're getting old. And he's a believer, and I say to him, I do not accept that. And he laughs, and I say, you're still 10 years older than me. And he says, but you're still getting older. So I don't know if him and God have been consulting, and if this is their way of slowing me down or not, but I haven't quite accepted it yet, okay? My normal recently has been challenged. So once again, God has me on a new journey. He keeps doing this to me. He is leading me back into places of rest and trust and a new level of dependency. And he's in the process reshaping my identity. Because as I said, my identity is I'm an extrovert and I'm busy and I do this and this. And along with this, this is the part that I like, is he's giving me a growing longing for more prayer in my life, more of the Holy Spirit's power in my life. And though I'm not so happy about the other stuff, I like that part. So how this happened. In May, I had a bicycle accident. I was leaving one job to go to another, and I fell into a water waste hole in the middle of the exchange district at a red light, and fell into the hole to my knee and got hurt, pretty badly hurt. Nothing broken, but pretty hurt. Banged up, whiplash, dislocated wrists, sprained ankles, all kinds of stuff. People came along, helped me out, asked me if I was okay. An independent me lied and said, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And I got myself over to YFC where I went into shock and a friend helped me and I went home. So the next week I was pretty shaken up, pretty wobbly, pretty not myself. And the day that I was starting to feel better, 7 days later, I walked to work that week because I didn't trust myself to ride my bike. I had another fall. And I got my feet tangled on a sweater and I couldn't get them out, and I flew forwards, flew into a chair, flew backwards. People picked me up, my students kissed me and hugged me, made sure I was okay, asked me if I was okay, and I lied again. And I said, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. But I wasn't fine. I really wasn't fine. And I pushed myself through the morning, even though I had extreme vertigo. I was shaking, my heart was racing, I was sweating. And I knew something was really wrong this time that I could not ignore. So, since then, I haven't had a day of normal. In fact, Brad talked about natural disaster, and I'm sort of having my own natural disaster. Over the last few weeks, my symptoms have worsened, and I've gotten new ones. I've had multiple trips to the doctors, 2 trips to the ER, 1 in an ambulance, 2 CT scans, an MRI. They've ruled out the nasties of the nasties. They ruled out stroke and cancer and tumor and a bleed. So I'm grateful. Now I'm waiting the long wait to see a neurologist. And the current possible diagnoses on the tables are a cerebellum frontal brain injury or a degeneration or a disease that's been exacerbated by the falls. That's their words. Possible concussion included, Parkinson's or MS. So my symptoms are many and strange, and if I start shaking my head away up here, that's one of them. It's okay. I'm not scolding you guys or any of that stuff. It's just one of the worst symptoms that I'm dealing with at this moment is often I start to shake uncontrollably, and as of this last week, I've finally gotten some medication to try and help that. But the doctors told me, go ahead and do your normal. And I'm not doing normal so good these days. I fight these symptoms long enough to get to YFC in the mornings, teaching's done for the summer, spend a couple of hours there, and have to go home and fall into bed for a few hours in order just to get up and keep going for the rest of the day. And this is not my normal. Remember Energizer Bunny? I am jumping and covering my ears at loud noises. This is the first time I've been in worship in weeks where I was able to stay in worship. I'm struggling as soon as I go on the computer, my head starts going, or on my phone, or anything where I have to concentrate, driving, those kinds of things. Shh, don't tell them I'm driving. I don't drive when it's really bad, it's okay. But my brain hurts. And about the only time I do really well is when I'm sitting outside and I'm looking into the distance. I don't have a lot of stuff going on in front of me. And then I do okay for a while. So I have this injury or whatever it is at the moment, and nobody seems to know, and I wait. And my way of coping is to try and figure it out. Okay, God, what can I do to make this better? Surely I can do some therapy, or I can take some medication or something to make this all go away and make it better, right? And I've had lots of prayer. So I've done those things. I know, I've learned you need to be proactive in the medical field, right? And I've done those things, and I've sought out the right doctors, and I have more of those coming. But I keep getting this wait. You have to wait. You know our medical system. You have to wait. I don't know when I'm going to see this neurologist. Could be 4 to 6 months. And in the meantime, I have to be okay. I have to be okay inside of me. Even if my brain is not okay at the moment, I have to be doing okay. And that's the work part. I guess that's the part that God's working on me. Because I have all these thoughts that go through my head. Lord, I need to go to work. I need to provide for, you know, I need to go to work. I have a job. What if they fire me? What if somebody sees me as incompetent? What if they say, you can't do your job? And in fact, I had to bow out of a summer job. My English day camps that I've done the last few summers, I had to bow out of because I realized there was no way I could manage 8 or 9 hours with these international students. So I had to admit that I couldn't do it. And I don't know when I admit that I can't do something. It's pretty rare. And part of that process has been, God, do I trust you enough? It's already summer, I'm not working except for 20 hours a week, and now I'm saying no to another job. God, are you going to take care of me? And you know what? He got me to a place where he said, it's okay. It's okay, Fawn, for once, to say you can't do something. And even though I'm still struggling with that a bit, I got to a place where I could phone up my would-be boss and say, I'm sorry, I'm not okay. I can't do this right now. And I've had to go to my supervisors at YFC and say, I can't do some of my stuff right now. And that's not easy for me to do because of all these insecurities that creep up. And God keeps saying, do you trust me? Because this kind of rest that we've been talking about, he's literally got me like laying down resting. And the kind of rest that we're talking about, where we rest in him, is about the only choice I have right now, because my brain hurts if I even think some days. Writing what I did today took me almost 2 weeks, something that would normally take me an hour. But you know what? I'm thankful for something. I'm thankful for the fact that I'm not afraid. Years ago, if this had happened, I would have been terrified. I would have been so afraid. But through all kinds of stuff in my life, God has taught me I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear. He will take care of me. Sometimes, though, my problem is, what is my part in it, right? Yeah, God, I get it. You'll take care of me, but I have to do my part. I have to go to work. But what do I do when he says, no, you can't go to work. You have to go to bed. And no, you can't do that other good thing you'd like to do. You have to go to bed. So it's a new level, I guess. I don't doubt that he will provide for my financial needs. He has. He's proven that to me. I'm not afraid. Sitting in an ER by myself at 1 a.m., I'm not afraid. That is God, and that is some of your prayers holding me. So I'm thankful and gracious for that. But this rest thing, how do I lay on my sofa or sit in a chair, not read, not look at Facebook, not be on my computer, not think about work, not do work? How do I do that? How do I just sit in a chair for hours on end and not think? I don't know how to do that. That's the part I'm still trying to figure out. Waiting is hard for me. I want to be proactive. I want to do something. But, you know, there's three weeks in between a doctor's appointment. That's a lot of waiting. And it's a lot of figuring out how much I can do when I have to say, no, I can't do that right now. I have to stop. New lessons for me. I've had injuries before, but my brain still worked. right? Maybe I couldn't do something physically, but my brain worked, I could do whatever. And then there's this fear that, well, wait a minute, what if I'm brain injured? Ooh. No. I resist that, right? But those thoughts still go through my head sometimes. That's what's going on. I had an accidental meeting with a friend from YFC last night. He was in the office. I just went into the office late. No one else was around, and I went to print this stuff up, and we started talking. And he started talking about God in a way that almost made me weep. The way that he knows God, oh my gosh, the scriptures that he quoted that just rolled off his tongue and his heart. And he talked about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in us. And that's been one of my longings. And actually, his phone rang, and I left him, and then I you know, started to leave. And I had this little voice say, go back, go back. So I went back, and I said, Amran, will you pray with me? This is what's going on. Will you pray with me? And he did. He prayed with me, and he pulled out scripture, and he encouraged me, and he blew my socks off with the love of Jesus in him. And I walked away from there encouraged that, God will heal me. He gave me some scripture, and some scripture that's been meaningful to me are some of the same ones he shared with me. So I'll share them with you. Isaiah 26:3. God keeps those in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him, in you. When my symptoms worsen and the head tremors are at their worst and my vertigo is at its worst and I'm thinking, what the heck am I going to do? I can know and I can trust in him. And I like that, because my mind's the problem right now. So these he keeps in perfect peace, whose mind are steadfast in him. I can trust in him. Mm-hmm. Be still and know before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And the Lord makes firm the one who delights in him, though he may stumble, and I've done a whole lot of stumbling lately, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. So I'm trusting the Lord isn't going to let me have any more falls. I'm taking that very literally. Sometimes I get a little anxious. Some of it, I've been told it's part of the symptoms. My heart races and I can feel anxious. And they've said that's not all in your head, it's in your body, which I'm thankful for. But there are prayers that I can pray over and over again. And sometimes I can't read, and I can't even work out long prayers, but there are scriptures that I can quote over and over, and there are verses like from our song today, Wait, the last two songs that Brad sang. And I think of this, that when we are afraid, there is no rest. When I am afraid and when I am anxious, there is no rest. But there is rest in God. And I'm learning. I haven't got it out, figured out. Like I said, I didn't have a happy bow to tie on the end of this, but I'm learning about what does it mean to rest and trust in God when that is literally all you can do. And this verse has been good for me. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm claiming this right now. I'm trusting that the Lord's going to fix my brain and it's going to be okay. I don't know if he's going to use a doctor to do it or if he's going to do it himself. But in the meantime, I'm just trying to figure out how to keep going back and saying, yes, Lord, yes, I trust you. It's okay. You've proven yourself to me before. You are a good God who loves me to pieces. And I have nothing to fear. So I don't know what your rest journey is this summer. If you've got a little time in your schedule, feel free to call me up because I have time in mine. And I may not be into big crowds at the moment, but I do love having coffee with a friend. And I noticed one of the things I'm struggling with is fatigue and sort of the energy to initiate. So I'm making myself a little more vulnerable and saying, please initiate, phone me up. Say, Fawn, you need some company? I'll come over and have coffee with you. I would love that. Come rest with me. Come wait with me. Thank you.
Stay here. Yeah, if you can, let's pray for Fawn. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for Fawn. I thank you for the ways that you're moving in her life. Lord, we ask that you would, in this season, presence yourself closer than a brother. Lord, we're asking that you would heal and restore the parts of Fawn that need healing and restoring. For your name's sake, Jesus. For your glory. Lord, we don't sometimes know your plans, but your plans are good. And you'll accomplish those in Fawn. Yeah, I thank you that you're her good father who takes care of her. We pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Interesting, as I was prepping that for this week, I came in this morning and felt like Fawn needed to give her testimony before the sermon or the devotional. We're doing shorter devotionals, and clearly, as she was sharing, I saw Psalm 23 all over your testimony and what the Lord is caring for you and providing for you, even in what could be what you might feel as a dark shadow in your mind. He's steadying your feet. Even Brad this morning said, I said I was sharing out of Psalm 23, and he said, I got here this morning, and I was thinking I should get Psalm 23 up on the screen, and so the Lord is faithful. He wants to do something in Psalm 23 this morning. So I want to focus on all of Psalm 23. I'll do a brief overview of Psalm 23, but I want to land a little bit in verses 2 and 3, where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. This psalm, if you know it, most of us know this psalm. You might be able to recite it by memory. But it is one of the most used psalms there is. It's one of the most comforting psalms that people use to comfort other people. And it gives the attributes of God as a good shepherd. Well, that's what's happening in this psalm. Sheep are mentioned throughout the Bible more than 500 times. Sheep are mentioned more than any other animal out there. That's how many times sheep have been quoted in the Bible. Sheep were important to nomads. They were significant in the agricultural life of the Hebrew people. And sheep were used in the Bible to symbolically refer to God's people. And Jesus was also referred as the Lamb of God. Here in this psalm, David, who is a shepherd before a king, knew what it was like to nurture and care for sheep. And he sings this psalm as a personal declaration, and in many ways what we too need and desire on any given day. We could recite this psalm and it would make sense for the things that we're walking through. So verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," speaks of God as our provision, that he is Adonai Jireh, and we can lack nothing when we trust in the Lord as our provider. Sheep flourish with a good shepherd. Interestingly, a sheep has a good memory, facial memory, of the shepherd. The sheep will know and recognize a good shepherd. He'll also recognize a bad shepherd. And so the sheep has this keen ability to know who its shepherd is. Sheep flourish in that place. And the shepherd will also provide everything to cause the sheep to grow, to mature and stay healthy, because the shepherd knows the value of the sheep. Skipping to verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here in this place of uncertainty, I think of Fawn sharing this uncertain place where she's in this darkest valley, or some would say a dark shadow, which we may not see, and we may not see out of this place. We can have peace. We can have peace knowing that the Lord is with us, that he is present and that he never leaves, that he will guide us in today and he is already in our tomorrow. He is eternal and he has an eternal plan for us. He knows the plans that he has for us. In some translations, it also says that the rod and the staff protect and comfort, which really makes sense when we think of a good shepherd tending its flock. Knowing just how easy a sheep can wander off, the rod and the staff are used to protect, to help guide and discipline, all for the love and the safety of the sheep. Because each sheep is of value to the shepherd. The shepherd knows the value and wants to protect what is of value to him, which is the sheep. So this illustrates just how much we need this in our lives, even the rod and the staff in our life, which should bring us comfort and rest and greater dependency on trusting the Lord. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Here this verse alludes to Adonai Nisi, which means God our banner or God our miracle, that God actually sets up a presence and provision in the places that we are treated unfairly or the places where we fear in our life. I liken this to a good father knowing his child is being bullied. Good father knows that. And I had this picture and I was thinking of this verse. And this, you know, this kid goes, his fear is going to school and the father knows he's being bullied. So he goes to school ahead of his son or daughter. And he goes right up to the bully and he stands there and he flexes his muscles right in front of the bully. And he goes, "Oh yeah, you know that kid you're messing with? That's my kid. And this is who I am. And I'm sticking around. And I'm going to be there every day." That's how I kind of feel this God setting this table in the presence of those people we fear, or even the fears that we have, is that the Lord goes ahead of us and stands there and says, "This is who I am in your fear." It's a place of peace that no matter what situation that we face, God sets the table, prepares it, and as we face that situation, we come and dine in a place of peace, that in a place where God is extravagant in his love and protection for us, his banner and our miracle. And then God anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows, which again speaks of God, our provision. Fat and oil were deemed very precious in the Bible. Something of worth was always constantly referred to as something of worth. And so you, as I read, you anoint my head with oil, I think of God fattening my head with oil and blessing. Maybe I don't want a fat head with pride, but I want a fat head with his blessing, of his anointing. And so which begs us to cry out, Lord, you treasure our minds. You pour out wisdom for us in all situations that we face. You give us the mind of Christ, and here we will not thirst for other things, because you have filled our cup with everything that we need. That makes sense for that verse. And the last verse is, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here, God's goodness and unfailing love will follow us every day of our life. This word here means to run after. This follow means to run after. And even though we might run away, the Lord is relentless in his pursuit of us. He will relentlessly pursue us with his goodness and his love. He's faithful in that. The shepherd is relentless in his care and love for his sheep. He wants to be good to his sheep, and he wants to love his sheep so they flourish in their value. So where can we hide from his presence, and where can we run to? Psalm 137, verses 7 to 12, read, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask that darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if we go back to verses 2 and 3, because this series is on rest, quietness. Last week we talked about it being an action, words of comfort, and weariness is actually, we were called to take an affirming step toward the Lord. Here it alludes to God making us lie down in green pastures, that he leads us beside quiet waters, and he refreshes our soul, and he guides us along the right path for his namesake. In the message, it reads, you have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from, and true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. I wanted to spend a little bit of time with these two verses because just right after those verses, there's a change in the psalm. There's a change in the way that David expresses himself in this psalm. Here he alludes to God making him lie down in the pasture. And this lying down is more like a sprawling on the ground. It's not like a nice lying down. I'll illustrate it. I wasn't going to, but I think I'll illustrate it. It's not in like a nice, neat posture of laying down like this, but it's kind of like you're like this. Ah, yeah, that is a nice rest. And that's sprawling. It's like sprawling out, stretching out. You'd probably want to stretch out more. I think of my daughter when she goes to sleep, she spreads out. She's getting this rest and she spreads right out. And she rests in that place. The connotation here is that God has to actually make us stop and rest. Not a rest that is like stiff in one straight line, but he's actually like getting us to sprawl out in a rest. Fawn may feel like that. The Lord is making her sprawl out in rest. And if we think about it, he really does. He makes us rest. Thinking of Phoebe, the only picture I had, you know, sometimes you use your kids as an illustration. I'll use Phoebe as illustration. You know, as a parent, if you've been around a child, you know when your kid is overly tired as a kid. And you know, you as a parent, you'll say, well, it's time for your rest, or time for your nap, and the kid's going, no, I don't want to rest. Don't make me rest. Don't make me have a nap. And they take a fit, and they don't want to rest, and they start crying, and you're like adamant, no, you need to have a nap. I know what's best for you. It's time for a nap. And they're crying, and they're making a fuss, and you put them in the bed. And I know Phoebe, when she was little, she'd be like, crying, I don't want to have a rest. Like, no, mommy, daddy know what you need. You don't know what you need right now. And she's fighting and wrestling, and you put her in the bed, and 2 minutes later, she's out. Totally quiet, resting for like an hour or two. And I thought of that picture, and I think about how we do life. Think of Fawn. I've been saying to Fawn, Fawn, you need to rest. You need to rest. You can't do that life and sustain it. You're gonna tire and wear out. How many times do we get caught up in worrying about our life and everything about our life, worrying about our finances, worrying about everything, making sure everything's right? We get caught up in the needs of ourselves, making sure that we do everything so that our needs are met, and then we forget that God actually wants to take care of our needs. That he actually wants to take care of every part of our life. Yeah, we have jobs to be responsible, and he gives us jobs to be responsible, but ultimately, he cares for our need because our job can be gone tomorrow. So he wants to care for us. And we can get so tired, but we just can't stop. Just can't stop. We get focused on doing everything that we forget Jesus' instructions to not worry, do not be anxious. And often this leads us to fear that he won't provide or provision won't come. And in this place, we stop seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And thus we do not enter his rest. I thought that was really good, Fawn. That's kind of like the base of the message, is that when we are worrying about our life and we're worrying about everything around us, we can't enter rest. And the Lord will make us lie down in green pastures. Imagine being a sheep for a moment. I don't know if you've researched what a sheep is or what it likes to eat, but just imagine for a moment you're this fuzzy, before you're sheared, you're this fuzzy, woolly sheep. And I did some research on sheep, just briefly. Sheep101.info is a great, great little site if you want to research sheep. And they say that sheep mostly eat grass, clover, forbs, and other pasture plants. And I went, forbs? What is a forb? Because it's a new word. Never heard it before. Because they especially love eating forbs. Does anyone know what a forb is? Nobody? I knew it. What's a forb? You bet it. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Forbs are not a grass. They're more nutritious than grass. And it's the sheep's first choice. If they could have anything, they eat a forb. Pastures can be littered with forbs. And so a good pasture, a forb is a herbaceous flowering plant. For example, it's a clover, it's milkweed, it's sunflowers, daylilies are considered a forb. So they have broader leaves. And this is a place where if a sheep has a desire, it would be to eat a forb. And because sheep will graze for more than 8 hours a day on average. And so they'll eat in the morning and they'll eat just before the sun sets. And they rest in between. So you're a sheep and you've been traveling with your shepherd quite a long ways. And you're getting hungry. And you haven't had much of a meal. So, you know, the sheep has led you to maybe some rocky ground and there's some grass here and there sticking out of the rocks and the paths and stuff. And it's been sparse and food has been lackluster for you as a sheep. And in that place, sometimes you get concerned and think, oh, is this shepherd really treating me well? Is he really going to bring us to food? When will we get there? Maybe if I go off on my own, I'll find my own food. Maybe he's leading us in the wrong direction. Maybe if I go off into that direction, past that hill, I'll find some really good food, even though past that hill might be a cliff. But you hold on to the shepherd because you know this shepherd has treated you well. You recognize his face. You recognize the fact that he has never taking you a wrong direction. He's always provided for you. So you follow the shepherd. And you come up to a hill and you cross over the hill, and on the other side of that hill is the most lush pasture that you've ever seen. And it's filled with forbs. All the forbs that you can eat is sitting in that pasture. And you are like so elated. You run over the hill and you start eating to your heart's content. And you eat till your heart's content, and then you lie down beside the beautiful stream, you know, the pictures that we've always seen, you know, the pasture, the sheep, the stream, and you lay down because you're content. And you know in that place when you wake up, there's more forbs for you to eat because it's a beautiful, lush pasture. You feel restored, renewed, revived, and refreshed. He guides us along the right paths or the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's showing that the best path for us is God's path. He knows exactly where he's taking us. He knows exactly what we need. Do we know his face? Do we recognize the shepherd's face in that as he's leading us? This path that he takes us on is often well-worn. Many people have walked this path before because the shepherd will use it over and over again. We all are on the same path. The sheep can be comforted in this place of knowing that to follow this path is good because they recognize their shepherd is good. I thought about this. I thought about the Word of God. I landed in that place. You know, I think the Word is this ancient wisdom that we've been given. And for generations, it's been passed on and passed on. And we can take this for granted, the Word. We can say, well, there's some good stories in there. Do we believe everything in it? Or we can view it as just an interesting read. But it's been given to us as a roadmap to follow. It's like a path well-traveled, this Word, as we open it up, gives us direction. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we read it, ask the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. That's our call as we read the Word. Give us revelation, Holy Spirit, into what you're saying to me as a good shepherd, how you're leading me down the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Fill me with knowledge and wisdom and revelation about your Word so I can stay on the path. It's like feasting on nutritious forbs. That's what I thought of the Word. It's not just little bits of grass, but it's this luscious, these luscious plants, that's the word of God. As we eat it, we're nourished and restored. And here we find our rest in the word. I was listening to, just as we come to the end, I was listening to a speaker, a well-known pastor. He was talking about this psalm in particular. And what stood out for him was this natural break in the psalm. And as he shared that, I read the psalm again. I said, yeah, there's actually a natural shift in the focus of this psalm. Because David is first talking about God. He's talking about God and who God is. He's singing out, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." It's kind of like he's talking to somebody about God, right? Talking to his best friend. But then it shifts to a more personal interaction with God. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here it shifted to a personal reflection with the Lord, where it first started with him just declaring who God is. Here it's now saying, "God, this is who you are to me." And he made it personal. This morning, let's make this personal with God. Because we can declare God as protector and provider and being a banner and comforter and shepherd. And these are all good things to declare who that is. But now making it personal with the Lord of who that is to us and who that means, how is he speaking that to us this morning? Let's make it a personal prayer in interaction with God like David did here. So as we continue this morning in ministry, Brad, if you can come play. But let's take some time with God in the place of ministry. And you, as Brad plays, you can pray out loud. You can, if you need to pray out loud with the Lord, or you can pray quietly, or you can sing. You could dance, you could flag. Whatever it is for you to interact with the Lord, we want you to interact with the Lord. There is the canvas on the side here. And this morning, if interesting what Fawn said about being afraid, if fear is something that you are gripped with, or the things that hold you back. Because I was really reflected on the fact that fear hinders our rest. Fear doesn't allow us to rest with the Lord because we're fearful of something. And this Psalm 23 is really about settling fear. That God is our provision. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's about settling fear in our life. So if you have fear in your life, I just encourage you to confess it. Confess your fear to the Lord. Ask him to come into that place and settle that for you. You may be feeling one thing in regards to fear. Settle that with the Lord this morning. If you want to receive prayer, we'll be up in front to pray for you. But you can also use the canvas and use that ribbon as fear. And take that piece of ribbon and weave it into the canvas, representing that the Lord is going to take your fear. He's going to turn it into something of rest in your life. So let's stand and pray together. Jesus, I thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. And we've meditated on that, Lord, but I ask this morning that you'd make that a new revelation, that your perfect love casts out all fear. And that you're desiring for us to walk without fear, knowing that you're a good shepherd, that you provide for us, that you're our healer, you're our restorer, that you want to refresh us, that you want to be the banner over us. That you want to reveal the word to us, to nourish us, and to bring us into peace. So, Holy Spirit, move in our hearts this morning. Help us to settle things with you, because you're a good shepherd and you take care of us. Amen.